You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, third hour is going to be a hodgepodge, not in a trivial way, but because we've got to cover a lot of stuff, and we will cover it. And the first thing I want to cover in this hour is that Eddie the Bombardier Miller is, of course, co-hosting with me. And Eddie commented to me, both he and Keith had last week off. It was the night before Easter, and we had a busy show, and so they took the night off, or were given the night off, rather. But Eddie commented to me that he and his wife really enjoyed the interview with my pastor. And we got a lot of emails about that. And as I mentioned earlier in the program, my pastor will be coming on maybe once a month for a segment or two to talk about matters of the faith. And when he comes back on again, he wants to talk about counterfeit Christianity. And here's the thing, you know, so many people say, well, you know, the fault with our people is that Christianity weakened our people down. And of course, to that I say Christianity brought our people together back when we were just warring tribes in Europe, and under one banner of Christianity, our people came together. I'm not going to rehash all that. We've talked about that time and time again on this show. But I say the fault with our people is not with our faith. It's with our people themselves. It's not as though the secularists and the atheists out there are bastions of pro-white activism. I mean, it'd be one thing if every Christian was out there fighting for, you know, against our people, and every non-believer was out there, you know, a staunch defender of our kith and kin. It's not quite that way. In fact, I would say that conservatives and Christians, despite their shortcomings, and you know, those are well documented on this show to be sure, make up our most ardent recruiting ground, and certainly make up the majority of our audience. And I'm thankful for those who are cultural Christians, those who perhaps don't believe in the divinity of Christ, but appreciate the role Christianity has played in our people. And I know this is a dirty word, but a Christian fundamentalist. But you know, if you're a cultural Christian, that's great. I appreciate the non-believers in our crowd, you know, and we have those, and they are, you know, just as welcome to support us as anyone, and we are as thankful for them as anyone. But, you know, we're going to talk about counterfeit Christianity, and these are the people I think that deserve most of that disdain. Anyway, Eddie, we got a strong feedback to that. One of the people who wrote me about that segment with my pastor last week, right before Easter, was a gentleman by the name of Hank in Florida. Now, Hank in Florida, yeah. He wrote me an email saying that he was listening in his car as he was driving in Florida. He was listening to that interview with my pastor and talked about how he appreciated in his down-home southern drawl how he could lay out the fundamentals of the faith. And, of course, Hank in Florida was also at our 10-year anniversary, and Hank in Florida also kept things cool with the political cesspool. And you'll know what I mean, folks, if you go to our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org, there you will find on his refrigerator at his home in Florida, he has an autographed picture of me and Keith and Eddie there, and he says he thinks about us every day because he sees us every day. And he sees us on his refrigerator every time he goes to get a little ice or a little ice cream. There we are. And I know that meant a lot to you, and Hank means a lot to you.
Yes, it did. And matter of fact, I would like to give a shout-out to my wonderful friend Hank in Florida. And I will be calling Hank in Florida soon, personally. I would like to thank him for donating. He has donated every year to my St. Jude Marathons. And, Hank, thank you so very much. I've been blowing and going since 3:30 this morning. I just came into the show, crash landed here. I will be sending you a personal email and a personal phone call. Thank you so much, Hank. God bless you, fella. And James, you said you kind of semi-apologized, I guess, for being a fundamentalist Christian.
No, I didn't apologize at all. I said that's what we are.
Yeah, you know what? Thank God you are.
And it's just say that is a bad word now. I mean, in terms of the mainstream, being a fundamentalist is the same as, you know, being a heterosexual or a southerner or a white person, I guess.
It's not the faith that's in trouble. It's the people deserting the faith. It's the, just like you said, you kind of stole my thunder. It's the so-called counterfeit Christianity. It's been watered down. We got all these, you know, milquetoast apologetics. you know, say, well, I guess I do believe in Jesus Christ, but I certainly don't want to.
Well, I mean, and not only that, you have people that claim the name of Christ as if Christ promotes sodomy. You know, you have these people that went to these rallies in Indiana and Arkansas last week saying Jesus only served or Jesus had two fathers.
You know what? I'd like to say I'm of the warrior clan of the Christianity. King David. King David knew all about Jesus Christ. Abraham knew all about Jesus Christ. Moses knew all about Jesus Christ. If you don't believe me, go look into the 11th chapter of Hebrews, what I call the faith chapter.
We spent an hour last week talking about, I'm just saying, there are Christians who fight for what they believe in, and I don't see a lot of them in government at all. And, you know, these people, these so-called Christian conservatives in Arkansas and Indiana who were supposed to be the defenders of our people, you know, these things.
They make
freedom, you know, this thing. These amendments in Arkansas and Indiana had it all. It had states' rights, religious liberty, business rights, free association. It was related to evangelical Christianity. And all these people who say that they represent that, they surrendered in less than a week of pressure from the queers.
And how many? I mean, what are their,
you're talking about
3%
of the population. 3%, 5%, whatever they are, you're going to cave to that.
And I'd like to say something there, James. You know what? I could care less what they do in their private. I mean, if they want to go out.
I don't hate them, but I'm just saying it is abhorrent. You can take Christianity out of it. It goes against nature. It is a violation against nature. It is a biological dead end. Listen, it's a sickness. It is either a mental illness. Let's just say you didn't get bathed in enough testosterone. Whatever the case, I don't want to see you persecuted. But listen, you're not going to put that on an even keel with normal sexual behavior with Christianity. It is not on a level playing field. And might is right. I am Machiavellian to an extent when it comes to that. I mean, we should not apologize for being the majority. We've seen this majority. You know, we're the elephant. And we're getting cowed by the mouse. Why? I mean, how did they get the moral high ground? We're on the right side of things here. We're on God's side. We're on the right side of history. This is a behavior that is just bad. It spreads disease. It leads it inflicts personal harm on its practitioners. I mean, this is not something that should be celebrated as if it is equal to or greater than heterosexual normal behavior.
And James, you know what? You know what? You're on a roll, son. But I'm telling you flat out, I went into the gay, lesbian, transvestite, trans, whatever it was, to try to evangelize these people down here in Midtown, trans everything. And I went in and preached the gospel of Jesus Christ to them. And they actually listen. But I don't care. I mean, I do care what they do, but I really don't. As long as they keep it out of our
face.
Try to force it on our throat. James, the day I went into that gay and lesbian, transvestite, trans whatever, I told him, I said, look, Hoss, this is where you're going to get in trouble. When you try to come in and recruit people's kids, that's when you're going to be in bad trouble. You people, you're saying you're going to come after your kids next? No, hell no. You better keep your hands off of people's children, because even the most milquetoast, worthless, spineless people in our society today will fight you over their kids. That's where I object to them.
Well,
they
try
to
thing.
Force it down our throat.
Freedom of association has long been dead in this country. It's been dead since segregation and even before then. You don't have the right in this country to be and associate with who you would like. Now, you know, we can't be left alone. They won't leave us alone. They're going to force us to do what they want us to do. We're going to talk about this in the next segment.
Tolerance is bowing down and just throwing your beliefs out the window.
Hang on, folks. We're going to talk about this a little bit more, but not for the whole hour, because we got other things to cover as well. This is going to be a barn burner. Stay tuned.
It will.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
All right, so we're going to wrap up. I mean, what can you say? I know it's hard for our people to believe that Republicans would surrender to the left on anything.
Yeah, that's hard.
But in Indiana and Arkansas, it occurred this week. We actually ran a couple of pieces on our website written by Hunter Wallace, and he really nailed it. And I'll just read a couple of passages that I lifted from his commentary, and he writes this: when one makes the assertion that the majority of current American politicians lack even a single iota of moral fiber or conviction, it doesn't take long to find overwhelming supportive evidence. To anyone who may still think that formerly conservative Republican candidates will defend the rights of white Christians against the tide of Marxist filth, let me say to you now that this is a dangerous hope and is one that is foundering on the rocks before your very eyes. You know what's over and done for conservative Christians in America when the Republican governor and legislature of Arkansas, a southern state, caved so quickly over the new issue of quote-unquote religious liberty. There you have it. Homophobia is now the equivalent of racism. The Republican Party officially told America that it was cruising down the path toward irrelevancy this week. It shows a party slowly cutting off social conservatism and that is now too disruptive for the business community to preserve. Freedom of association is no longer a respected value in our society, especially with the left. That's why the leave me alone defense is no longer sufficient. Instead, we must articulate values that turn the orthodoxy on its head and have the conviction of knowing that we are on the right side of history. Only then can we hope for victory. And here's the thing, Eddie, if the Republicans were ever going to take a stand, surely taking a stand on this issue, that in the entirety of their base is with them on, would have been the one, but they caved on that. And not only did they caved in less than a week in both Indiana and Arkansas.
You know what? This reminds me back when we had the Ron Paul get together at Rage USA years ago. And
people... You were ejected from that, as we might remind the audience.
Well, I guess I'll try to forget that, but I think you're right. I think I was ejected to that. But, you know, They were talking about, even then, our people in our conservative society, you know, the cesspool guys went there, and they were wanting to have kind of like what I called a big tent philosophy.
Well, but now basically, well, here's the thing.
Everybody,
this actually, what happened at that meeting back in 07, 08, whenever it was, actually is, on a smaller scale, exactly what's happening in the Republican Party as a whole. Because here's the thing, the entire room, I think it wasn't a big crowd, but listen, there was 30 or 40 people in that room, and me and Eddie.
I'd say 50.
And Scoop Stanton was even there,
right,
I believe.
That's right.
So the entire room wanted to have this Ron Paul rally at Nathan Bedford Forest Park. There was one woman there with purple hair who said, it may offend black people if we have it there. One woman with purple hair out of 50 people, 30, 40, 50 people, whatever it was, every single person to a man wanted to have this Ron Paul get together at this event promoting Ron Paul's candidacy at Forest Park, because who you know, a great American war hero like Forrest, you know, that's the kind of people a normal man would want to be associated with. Well, one woman with purple hair who said her black roommate may have a problem with it, she derailed the whole thing. And because of that, the Ron Paul representative said, you're right about that. Yeah, we don't want to offend your black roommate. And so, you know, that got scrapped. Eddie went off his rocker, got ejected from the place. But this is how the Republicans react as a legislating party.
Exactly. You know what? They stand for nothing nowadays. As a matter of fact, you know what? I don't believe anything I see. I think the whole thing was a sham. I think the whole thing was a straw man.
Keep going.
Okay. I think the whole thing was just a straw man put out there so the stinking Republicans, who actually are nothing but Democrats, can go up and just posture like they're trying to stand for Christian values. Well, they intended to fold the whole time. And you know what? This goes back to who actually controls the country. If you know what, the same old Zionist bankers, you know, we know who we're talking about, that control the country. That's where all the homosexual, all the filth coming into our country originates. You know, look at all eight major studios in Hollywood. You can't turn on a movie. You can't turn on the internet. They're always, I mean, what is it? You can't, well, it's Bruce Jenner's going to come on some show and spill his guts like it's the second coming of Christ they're talking about. I mean, who gives a damn about some guy who goes and has a sex change? They're making it the biggest story in the world. Meanwhile, we got the Red Chinese announcing the other day that they're going to, the Red Chinese Wong is going to supplant the United States dollar as the world's reserve currency. I haven't seen one blimp in the news about that, but the main article is about some transvestite, some sex change. He has a demon. And that's what the Republican Party stands for, James, because they're being paid off with the same people that control Hollywood.
Well, that's absolutely right. They're more beholden to the business community and their overlords. Now, listen, obviously, when you get to a presidential, congressional, senatorial level, they're all loaned, owned lock, stock, and barrel by the same interest, the same foreign interest, Sheldon Adelson and his group. But now, on a state level in Arkansas, yeah, they came, I think, to Walmart. You know, I think Walmart was the
God's sakes.
Well, let's take Alan very quickly. Alan in Arkansas, we got a caller before the break, and then we'll talk about more things as well. But Alan is in Arkansas. Maybe he can give us an Arkansan perspective. We're right across the bluff here in Memphis. But tell it how you see it in Arkansas, Alan.
Well, okay, I'll tell you what I called. The reason I called is I was upset by one teeny tiny remark your minister made last week. Let me tell you what the minister said. Your minister said that maybe it's time for churches to start paying taxes. And I really had a hissy fit over that. Now I'll tell you why. What happened after Kennedy was shot is Lyndon Baines Johnson became the king of the United States. And what Johnson did is he declared a war on poverty. And that's costing us now up to $1 trillion a year. And our prison population has tripled since the 1980s. Now, when George Bush II assumed the throne, when he became the king of the United States, he made one intelligent suggestion, and that was, he said, let's bring the welfare programs into the church and pay them to do the administration Monday through Friday. And that way, we'll be helping the church with their revenue issues. And every major church leader in America barfed on that, and they said, we don't want any prostitutes in our church Monday through Friday, which was about the dumbest thing I ever heard of. Because if we got the welfare programs into the church, we could whittle them down to the point where they were nothing at all. So,
well, I think, caller, I have to comment on that. Now, who are we talking about paying the churches, caller?
Wait,
are you saying you're in favor of the United States government paying the churches to take over welfare and charity?
No. He's not saying that at all. He's saying that's what happened. Yeah. All right. Well, clarify, Alan. I may be wrong. What exactly are you saying?
Okay. What I'm saying is the churches should be paid to administer our federal welfare programs.
By who?
We wouldn't have to pay for buildings outside of the church.
By who? I'm asking you, who's going to pay the churches? I'm asking you flat out, who are you saying should pay the churches to administer welfare?
The federal government.
No, hell no. Then that's worse than the 501c3, man. I mean, I hate to say this, but you're nuts if you think that's a good idea. That's getting the United States government deeper into the church. If you think the United States government has control of the church now, you're dreaming if you think that they would totally own the churches, lock, stock, and barrel. I'm sorry, but that's a lunatic idea.
Well, and I think what my pastor was saying is it's better.
They're not working, sir. Our federal welfare program.
The federal government has no business paying the churches, man. They have no business whatsoever paying the churches. It'd be worse now than ever. That's the stupidest idea I've ever heard in my life. And I would apologize, but I'm not sorry for saying that.
Well, with that, we'll take a break. We'll hold the call over and let him respond. We want to give equal time to all. We're going to take a break. And I'll clarify what Pastor was saying last week, too, if there needs to be any clarification there.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you sick and tired of just being sick and tired? Are you sick and tired of being told that you are somehow privileged? Are you sick and tired of being told to shut up, both at work and at school? Are you sick and tired of panhandlers pestering you whenever you go out to shop or to eat? Are you sick and tired of jobs that never come and an economy that never goes anywhere? Are you sick and tired of having to take orders from incompetence? Are you sick and tired of movies and television shows that depict a white man as a bumbling incompetent? Are you sick and tired of a government that welcomes non-white immigrants and exposes you to diseases? If you are sick and tired of being sick and tired, then the American Freedom Party is for you. Connect with us. TheAmericanFreedomParty.us. Once again, TheAmericanFreedomParty.us.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Traveler's Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips.
There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, so we've got Alan on the line from Arkansas, and I appreciate Alan's call. Eddie is the Bombardier, and he earns that name every program. I do want to say two things before we turn it back. He's belligerent by nature. He even treats me and Keith that way. That's when we don't talk to him much.
Oh, nice. I thought that was nice.
When we don't hang out with him except on Saturday night. Just kidding. We love Pappy. But here's the thing. Now, what my pastor was saying last week is that it is better for the churches, in his opinion and in mine as well, to lose their tax-exempt status if it comes between them being able to speak out on important social issues than be under their thumb, as Mick Jagger said. And so, better for the churches to lose their 501c3 status than to not be able to fight in this culture war, and that is basically what the churches are faced with now. But here's the thing about the churches providing welfare rather than the government. You know, could the churches administer it on a local level better than government? Anybody could do anything better than the government, whatever we're talking about. But I know in my personal church, we actually have a benevolence fund. It's a part of the church budget that goes to members of the church who have fallen on hard times. And I know in times in the past, there have been people who've lost their jobs, and so the church will contribute out of its benevolence fund X amount of money to these particular families if the cause is warranted. So, Alan, with that being said, I want to turn it back to you.
Okay, well, you know, when you're telling me I'm crazy, let me tell you how you guys sound crazy to me. When you say you don't care what two faggots do in the privacy of their own home, when a faggot comes down with AIDS, that's going to cost the federal government, in round numbers, about $500,000 until that savage finally kicks the bucket.
Now, when did we ever say that? I want you to point to the show where we ever said that, and I've certainly never used that word on the air in 10 years of broadcasting.
You've been saying that the last half hour. I think Eddie's been pounding his chest and screaming he doesn't care what two people do in the privacy of their own home.
Well, I don't think he used that particular word, and nor have we ever used a word of ill repute on this broadcast in 10 years and 6 months of radio.
Okay, but you see, the issue is that homosexual is not a proper term for a group of people who are purposely coming down with a disease so that they can get on Social Security disability payments and never work again for a day in their lives. So I don't know where you get this idea that homosexual behavior is not sick and that it's not evil. That's what it is. It's evil and it's sick, and it doesn't deserve a DSM label. It's something that doesn't even belong in the closet. It's unspeakable.
I'll be nice. Alan, James has said that. I've heard James personally say that. He has personally brought up the DSM. Yes, he did. James has already made that. By the way, I'm a registered nurse. I know what DSM means. James Edwards has made that point numerous times on this show, caller. And I'm sorry if I hurt your feelings. I'm sorry. I guess I just came up in the old days when we were a little bit wilder than we are nowadays. But, yeah, James has never said that. I can vouch for
that.
Well,
I mean, we've always talked about the degenerate nature of homosexuality and how it should be shunned from proper society. I mean, we say that anytime the topic comes up. We've been very consistent in that.
And James, once again, the government has no business taking care of the homosexual. They had no business taking care of Eddie the Bombardier Miller or James Edwards. The government has no business doing anything at all that's not in the Constitution of the United States.
Final point to you, Alan.
Let me share another fact with you, okay?
Okay.
Now, you're talking about the outrage of letting the church rent office space and charge phone fees and stuff in order to administer our secular welfare programs until we can make them go away. Let me tell you what's happening right now. A homosexual who wants to have a sex change operation will get that paid for free by the federal government. In fact, right now, there is a homosexual in jail in California, and the government is lobbying to have the federal government pay for him to get a sex change operation while he is in jail. At the same time, there are no welfare programs for teenagers who come down with leukemia, lymphoma, or breast cancer. So essentially what you're saying is the way our programs work now, where a homosexual can get a free sex change operation, and a kid in college with leukemia, it's just tough luck for him. That's what you're that's kind of what you're condoning.
Alan,
and
I don't see how you draw that conclusion at all. I don't see how you draw that at all. We are with you 100%. You make a great point. I mean, obviously, the sodomites shouldn't receive that kind of benefit. We got a man right here who runs so that the kids with leukemia, you know, he runs
just today
100 miles a year in these marathons to raise money for the childhood treatment of pediatric catastrophic diseases. I'm with you on that. I don't know what show you've been listening to. Maybe you called into the wrong one, but we're with you on the homosexual issue, if not on some of these others. But thank you for the call. Now, we got a little bit off track. That was interesting.
I'd like to make one final comment.
All right, come on now.
Just one final comment. Listen, the entire fault of everything is not the church, it's not the homosexual stuff, it's that the United States government, the Sodom of the Potomac, has got itself involved in every issue under the sun. They have, the United States government has no business paying for homosexual operations. It has no business paying for children's health care. I don't care how much weeping and gnashing of teeth there is. That's why people like Eddie Bombardier Miller, what the political cesspool, and what the Liberty News Roundtable, that's why we sweat blood and put our own money and our own sweat and tears to support charitable hospitals like St. Jude Children's Research Hospital here in Memphis. That's in our hands, and we do that. The federal government has no business, man, putting money into any kind of health care. Davy Crockett got roasted for that very, very issue. And James Edwards brought that issue up when Davy Crockett almost lost the election one year. Well, he lost some donations from a guy who complained because he gave like $10 to a widow. And the farmer told Davy Crockett that it was not his place to take federal money and give it to a charitable cause. That belongs to the churches. But I could not disagree more. We need to get the United States government out of everything. And I know Sam Bushman and James Edwards will agree with that.
Well, nevertheless, we got off track there for a segment.
Yeah, the Constitution, right. No doubt about it.
The
Amen.
Limited scope there, if you will.
Very limited scope.
At any rate, I'm not sure if that guy knew what show he was calling into, but nevertheless, there were some things I wanted to cover.
We appreciate the call, though. We really do.
We appreciate all calls. You can take us to task. I mean, you know, we appreciate that, too. I don't know if you know this, folks, but as big as our audience is and as many people who love us, there are some people in this country who don't like what we have to say.
Well, I'm sorry. You know, honest to God, let me apologize. If I came across a little too rough, I don't think I did. But Sam, and James,
I don't want you to be my tiger because tigers play too rough, Eddie. I don't want you to be my
Sam and James think I was too rough, so I will apologize.
I just want you to be my teddy bear, as Elvis said.
I apologize. I didn't mean to be too rough for everybody's feelings. That's right. I do respect other people. I guess I need to show it more, I guess.
Well, I'll tell you what. One person, I want to circle back to a little Confederate history now and what time we have remaining. And this is related to a contemporary topic. Never enough time on this show. Never, never, never.
No, sir.
Talk about the University of Ole Miss, the University of Mississippi. It's Ole Miss now. But here's a little history of the once proud university. With the outbreak of Lincoln's War in 1861, classes were interrupted when the entire student body from the University of Mississippi enlisted in the Confederate Army. Their company, Company A, the 11th Mississippi Infantry, was nicknamed the University Grays. It suffered a 100% casualty rate. A great number of those casualties occurred during Pickett's charge at the Battle of Gettysburg on July 3, 1863, when the University Grays made the deepest encroachment into Union territory. Some of the soldiers crossed the Union defensive fortification wall only to be killed, wounded, or captured. Now, to say the least, a lot has changed at the University of Mississippi since then, and all of it for the worse. So there you have it. In the 1860s, the entire student body of Ole Miss goes, not only fights to a man, but dies to a man in the Confederate cause. Now, just a few days ago at
James,
the University of Mississippi, you have a student.
They would do it today, but they would be fighting against their own people.
Oh, yeah. They would fight. Yeah, right. You got a student there now who did a prank. It was ill-advised. It was stupid. It shouldn't have been done. He should have been scolded. But this guy, this kid, 17, 18, well, I guess he was 18 if he was in college, 18 years old, whatever he was, 17, he hung the Georgia State flag and a rope around the James Meredith statue. Now, James Meredith was the first black fella to integrate Ole Miss. He also endorsed David Duke for governor. For what that's worth. But nevertheless, this guy – but I thought at college, you know, college is this place of free expression and ideas where, you know, stunts like this are supposed to be tolerated in the name of free speech. And anyway, it was an ill-advised thing. If I'd have talked to him, I'd have told him, don't you dare do that. But he did it. He committed a hate crime against an inanimate object. He put a rope and a Georgia State flag around the statue of James Meredith. He is now facing 11 years in federal prison. This kid, who probably was drunk in the middle of the night and did something stupid, but he's facing 11 years in jail. He was brought up on federal hate crimes charges by Eric Holder himself. Eric Holder, the Attorney General of the United States, actually weighed in on this college prank. This kid's facing 11 years in federal prison for offending a statue. This is where we're at today. I'm going to let Eddie chime in on this when we come back right after the break. Ponder that. Marinate. We'll be back. Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R-word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like their green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2's skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
A backpack is more than just a bag, it's a statement. Whether you're a student or a professional, are traveling the world or commuting to work, Teton Sports offers a wide variety of backpacks, each of which is lightweight and durable. The book bag backpacks weigh only 1.5 pounds and come in solid pink, blue, red, or black. The session bags have eye-catching designs, adding a touch of style in pink and white or in black. Each is great for kids or adults who need a versatile, resilient, and eye-catching bag. The professional and the executive are sleek, sturdy backpacks with numerous uses. Whether you're hiking in the mountains or packing for an important business trip, these bags have plenty of room. Not only are the backpacks comfortable and lightweight, but they're large enough to fill all your needs. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, duffels, tents, cots, camp pads, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
One more time, I want you to say.
All right, everybody. Well, the last segment of tonight's live broadcast is already here. Another 3 hours, the fastest 3 hours of my week, that's for sure. Hey, I think that Keith is going to be our emissary to the American Renaissance Conference next week. So if Keith ends up going, as he is planning to, then we will take a call from him and a boots on the ground report. And we have an economist that's going to come on next week, one of Eddie's contacts, an economist who has been with us before in previous episodes. He's made appearances in the past, rather. And he's going to talk about the potential for the dollar to no longer be the world's reserve currency. Perhaps China would mosey into that position. Well, anyway, we're going to hear from a tried-and-true economist on that very important question next week at length. We were going to cover it tonight.
But Tommy, just a minute.
Very quickly.
And people, you really, really need to pay attention to this. I mean, if what the economist and I are going to talk about China replacing the United States dollar as the world's reserve currency, if it happens between now and next week, it'll be too late, because we will go into the biggest depression you've ever seen. It's happened in Weimar Republic of Germany. It's happened in Argentina. We're going to talk about that next week. Your very survival is at stake. Your very livelihood, your very standard of living as you know it will come to, it'll be destroyed.
I think Americans, we know we're fighting a retreating battle for the moment. And I do believe things can turn around, because I believe people fundamentally agree with us on these issues that we talk about on this show. Certainly racial issues, because, hey, even the liberals live like us. I guarantee you, every liberal lives in, you can't ask them what, majority non-white community they'd like to live in, because, you get a blank stare in the face. They want to live around their people. And listen, God bless everybody. I wish the best, nothing but the best for everybody, but I prefer our culture. Yeah, I prefer to be around my people. For 10,000 years, I've been the product of, integrity, racial integrity. I want my children to look like me. I want my grandchildren to look like me. And I think that every group of people wants that for themselves. And so why is it bad when we do? Well, it's not. Anyway, so hate crime against an inanimate object. Well, that's what happened at Ole Miss. We talked a little bit about the history of Ole Miss. 11 years this kid faces for an ill-advised stunt, but it was a harmless stunt nonetheless. An inanimate object, though. This has to send shivers down the spine of anyone who values freedom, that a prank against an inanimate object, no matter what the context, can constitute federal criminal charges.
You know what? It sent a shiver down my spine when James from Edwards told me about that. I thought, surely you're wrong. So I said, James, you need to double check that story. That's just over the top, even for the feds. But listen, people, here is the problem once again. It's with the United States. It's with the states. We, the people of the states. We, the people, created the states. The states didn't create themselves. We created the federal government. The federal government is not the all-powerful monster that we have been led to believe it is. Here is the problem. If we had a governor who knew his constitutional rights and duty to his people, if we had a sheriff, and I know this is right up Sam Bushman's alley. If we had a constitutional governor, a constitutional sheriff, a constitutional posse, a constitutional militia, this crap would never fly, because the people, the three entities I just mentioned, I won't name them again, you know what I name, would tell Eric Holder, the father of the drug dealing of that across the of well, the recent drug dealing that got caught, Eric Holder got caught busted red-handed dealing drugs and guns on the Mexican border. Fast and Furious. We tell the father of Fast and Furious, go where the sun don't shine. You're not going to come get our citizen of the state of Mississippi, because if you try, we have the Mississippi militia, what they call it, the National Guard now, but we would have the Mississippi militia, we'd have the constitutional sheriffs with our constitutional policy. If you come down here trying to get our boy, there's going to be hell to pay.
Well,
and that's your duty. That's the duty of the governor. It's the duty of the sheriff, and they're failing on the duty, and that's where the trouble is. Because we're rolling over, putting up with all this crap, and it's our fault. Now, I'll turn it over to you, son.
Well, I was afraid you were going to knock us off the air punching the broadcast equipment there. In your righteous fit of anger, Eddie, and it is righteous. Because here's the thing about it, folks. A hate crime against an inanimate object, is that where we're at now?
Stupid.
It was a stupid prank is what it was, and this kid shouldn't have done it. But he shouldn't also go to jail for 11 years. You don't get 11 years for what? Armed robbery?
God almighty, no.
For murder? If you're a black murderer? Yeah, and here's the thing. How many, you know, whites were murdered today by blacks? I don't see that getting any types of charges. But I'll tell you, you know, this hate crime against the statue of James Meredith, you know, you can't offend this statue. Law enforcement officials couldn't have cared less when vandals desecrated the grave of one of the greatest American war heroes, Nathan Bedford
Forrest.
Right
here in Memphis.
I got a video of Eddie on YouTube providing commentary on that right here in Memphis. Now, that actually is a crime to desecrate a grave, and it's not only a grave, it's a national monument, the Nathan Bedford Forrest Park here, his equestrian statue and gravesite. You know, they poured paint all over it, defaced it, wrote curse words all over it. But not one, none of them got, you know, hey, that was
only a grave, a United States, mark, you know, a historical mark, site. I mean, it's a sacred site.
There was no investigation, no investigation there, no hate crimes, no nothing. And of course we know the double standard. What are you going to do about it? But I'll tell you, you know, none of this.
I'll tell you what we do about it. We do just what I mentioned. We get the constitutional sheriff, the constitutional governor, the constitutional militia, and people. It's our fault for putting up with this crap.
Well, you can't. You're not going to get it here in Memphis, you know, with our sheriff. You know, and the sheriff before him, Mark Luttrell, who's now the mayor of Shelby County. I mean, he wouldn't even.
You know, Sam got this. He's in with Sheriff Mack with the Constitutional Sheriffs and Police Officers Organization. That's exactly what Sam Bushman and Sheriff Mack's trying to do. And we need to support that. That's one thing we can do, is support that organization and get it going, James.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Eddie. But here's the thing. So here, you know, when this kid got brought up on charges for, you know, committing a civil rights crime against the statue, the entire student body of Ole Miss should have said no way. And I'm not saying that because, listen, I agree it was a wrong thing and a bad idea. I'm not defending the guy's action. I'm just saying he shouldn't have been thrown out of school, but he shouldn't have certainly not been brought up on 11 years of charges in federal penitentiary. He should have been scolded, saying, you know, listen, you know, stuff like that's going to rile people up. It's a, you know, it's a bad plan, you know. Go home and think about it, you know. Maybe even suspend him for a couple of days.
He'd have been better off raping somebody. He'd have got a lesser fence.
Well, that's absolutely right. If a first-time, you know, rape, I'm sure he would have. And we're not advocating that, obviously.
Well, of course
but,
not.
No, I'm just saying, no, he could have committed a strong-armed robbery. He could have committed an armed assault. Any of it.
First offense, what, 3 to 9? Three to five?
He wouldn't have gone 11. And he may not go 11. I'm just saying he could. But here's the thing. Not one kid at the University of Mississippi could have cared less, but I'll tell you, you brought this up, what will get them upset, what will cause the entire student body of a school to go out and set fires in the street when their basketball team, and I'm talking about the University of Kentucky, where you got all of these one-and-done recruits pretending to be Kentuckians for a year. Now, this is near and dear to Eddie's heart because he is born and raised. He's a native Kentuckian, spent most of his life in Tennessee, but he was born in Kentucky. Well, you got all of these students at the University of Kentucky burning down Lexington, you know, setting fires in the street when Kentucky lost a couple of days ago, week before last, in the NCAA tournament. You know, that will get them up in arms, Eddie. That, you know, I'm not saying they should go out and set fires for anything, but they will engage in civil disobedience if their basketball team loses. If their basketball team loses, they will go out and raise Cain. But they're too stupid and uncaring to matter, you know, to weigh in on the fact that their nation is melting down in front of their very eyes. Their rights are eroding. I mean, you can go to jail for 11 years for this. They don't care.
That's right, James. They don't object when their mothers, their grandmothers, their wives, their daughters, their girlfriends have to go through the TSA and have these bozos fondling them and ogling them. And
you could bring 100 examples up.
Yeah,
and
sure
they don't care
can.
That at the University of California at Irvine, the professors, the student body, the governing council of UC Irvine voted in favor of removing the American flag from the entire campus because they said it's racially insensitive. First they came for the Confederate flag, and I didn't care because I wasn't a Confederate. Now they came for the American flag. You know what I'm talking about, folks. Well, here's the thing. So now the American flag is the same as the Confederate flag, at least at UC Irvine. It's going to be everywhere because, hey, the nation's founders were slave owners, just like Nathan Bedford Forrest, you know, Washington, Jefferson. Why are the Confederates being singled out? But, you know, so – but hey, the students at UC Irvine didn't care when they said you can't display an American U.S. federal flag on that campus because it offends the sensibilities of minorities. They didn't set fires because, hey, their team didn't lose in the NCAA tournament. You know, nothing changed, important like that.
It's situations like that that sometimes makes me wonder, why are we doing what we're doing? Because I'm going to point out something to you, James. We talked about this off the air the other day. What we do in this radio every Saturday is worse in the eyes of the federal government than what this kid down here at the University of Mississippi did. What we do, we commit a hate crime every week. Our own congressman.
Based upon the perverted definition,
that's
I guess.
Right, that's right.
Where the truth is hate.
My own United States congressman denounced me.
Your own United States congressman said you were reprehensible.
That's right.
in a session of oh, my gosh, I wish we had 5 more hours. We got to go. Hey, we love you, everybody. God bless you. We'll be back, me and Eddie.
Sorry if I was rough, y'all.
Next week when Keith goes to Ameren. Oh, we got to pick it up next week. But stay tuned. We'll do it. Love you. Good night.